Blog Talk Radio.
John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank everyone who joined us this evening. All of you have called in at 646-668-2636. We thank you. We appreciate you spending some time with us this evening. And I just wanted to be able to share a word today. For those of you who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we also welcome you to the broadcast today. Today, we just want to talk a little bit. I just wanted to give a word of encouragement to the brothers out there, husbands, fathers, and sons, about having an obedient life and uncritically love of others, uncritically loving others. And just to examine ourselves, see where we are in this Christian walk. You know, it's a lot. It's regenerating. It's the Holy Spirit changing us, giving us a new outlook on life, and to be secure in our foundation. So there's some things that we should look at our lives individually. As we look as a man in the mirror, we look at ourselves every day and know who we truly are. And again, as always here at Christian Men's Talk, we encourage the brethren out there, we compare ourselves to the Word of God. We don't compare ourselves to each other. We don't compare ourselves to our pastor or those around us in the congregation or those on our pew. But we look at the Word of God for ourselves. You know, just in the service on Sunday, and the pastor said, you know, the closer we draw to God, the closer we are, we become the light, the better we see ourselves. Because it all starts with us. It starts with a renewed mind, a changed mind, a renewed heart. And we see the world and we see people differently because of Christ Jesus and because of the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. So today we're just going to want to touch on just a few points of the obedient life that to encourage you, again, to encourage you as always. I never claim to have it all together or to put myself on the pedestal or any of the brothers that are here that we bring in to talk about the issues that we deal with as men. But it's just to encourage us along the way. Now, with spiritual maturity and spiritual growth, there's some things that will start to drop off. You'll start to think different. You'll start to behave different. Your heart will be different. Because the change we're looking for is a supernatural and a spiritual change from the inside out. It's not about us changing what we are on the outside, but it's about God changing us on the inside. And we start to recognize some of these things as we look at ourselves again and judge ourselves in the light of Scripture and what the Bible teaches. So tonight we're going to talk about obedience, and then we're going to talk about uncritical love of others. And I think that's very important, how we see others, God sees them. Amen. So let me open in prayer. Lord God, we say thank you. We thank you for another day, God. Thank you for another opportunity, O God. Another opportunity to please you, God. Another opportunity to serve you, God. Another opportunity to advance your kingdom, O God. To live our life to glorify you, Lord God. Father, today I thank you for salvation today. I thank you for the salvation of those around me and my family members, Lord God. We thank you for the body of Christ today, O God, the church, international and national and local, Lord God. All those who are called by your name, God, we pray, O God, encouraging, strengthening them, and heal them. Father, you know the sicknesses, Father, that's going around, God. You know the hospital rooms that are full, Lord God. You know the family members that are sitting by the bedside, God, not knowing what's going to happen next and know what the outcome will be. So, Father, we ask that you comfort them, O God, even in the midst of their trial. Father, we pray for those in traveling mercies, O God, who are traveling to and fro in the highways and byways, O God. Father, we ask, O God, today, most of all, God, that you lift up pastors, elders, and deacons, those who serve in the ministry, those who lead the church, who shepherd the flock, who are the under-shepherds, O God, who speak life and speak the word of God into people's lives, to disciple and mentor and train and pray for, O God. Father, refresh them and renew them, O God. Give them vision, give them wisdom, and give them discernment. Continue to bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking about the obedient life and what it looks like. What does it look like? What do we look like as obedient children to God? As a child of God, are we called? Obedience should be a character trait, should be the character trait that God can see in us, that we can see in ourselves, that we are living obedient to his word. And I think that's one of the important things. Are we living our lives in obedience to the word that we know? And are we growing in the knowledge of the things of God that we can live obedient to the word? We only can live obedient to what we know. It's like anything else. There's rules, there's regulations, there's boundaries. And we're known to stay within those rules and regulation boundaries because we learn them. We know them all the way from when we were in school as children, not to talk in class, not to run in the halls, I don't know, not run with scissors, and then all the things that we were taught by our parents and what not to do in the home, what not to do in public. You know, we were taught and we gained knowledge, and then it's how we live, and we live within those boundaries. Now, some of us have stepped out of boundaries. Some of us have been the disobedient children in the natural and in the spiritual, but we can always redeem ourselves. We always can come back. We can repent and come back. Especially when it comes to the spiritual things and it comes to God and even in our families. You'd be surprised how far the word of I'm sorry, forgive me, and I was wrong can heal a lot of our personal relationships. That's all the way from marriage to parenting to friendships to church connections to whatever. You know, repentance. Repentance is understanding that it's not about who was right or wrong, but you're sorry for the things that you did that could have hurt others. And you're sorry for living in disobedience to what you were taught. And that's what we come to when we talk about the love of God, that he's waiting for us to come to him, acknowledge that we are sinners, and repent from that thing and believe in his son, Jesus Christ, for redemption of our soul. Because he paid the price in his death and his resurrection. He paid the price, and the price was acceptable for the salvation of our souls. Amen. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. As usual, I encourage you always. I'm going to give you some scriptures real quick so you can go back and review, read over for yourselves and study a little bit. I just want to touch on them to have a biblical foundation of what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 5, we talk about living an obedient life. I'm going to start off with Matthew chapter 5. It's going to be verses 17, 18, and 19. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 17, 18, and 19. The word of God says, "Do not misunderstand why I came." This is Jesus speaking. "Do not misunderstand why I came. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets, but I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved." Verse 19, So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And God, this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about learning, understanding the word of God, understanding the principles and the teachings of the word of God. Now, for those out there, we talk about the law of Moses and Old Testament law. There's a lot of principles there that carry over into the New Testament in those teachings. We're not talking about the law per se as the ceremonial law and as the religious law. But there's also what's called the moral law that God laid down. And those things we are called to abide by. Again, these are the boundaries of our lives. If the word of God is the blueprint, it sets the boundaries and the borders of our lives or how we should live in obedience to him. This is why we must understand and know the word of God. So I challenge anyone out there to study the word of God for yourselves. From your pastor, teachers, in Bible study, but then start to take application because you have to have knowledge and understanding to be able to apply anything. So with the word of God, we have to take that time to grow spiritually, because Christ's point, Jesus's point, in that passage, Matthew 5, 17 to 19, that if you truly say we will be obedient, and we will have an overwhelming desire to submit to God's will and His word, you know, because even Paul, the great evangelist, the apostle, he struggled with it. He wrote about it in Romans chapter 7. He talked about the struggle between the flesh, about how the flesh rises up and wants to be disobedient to the things of God that he knew, the battle between the spirit and the flesh. So it's not a new struggle, but we all can overcome it because we have the examples of how Paul and Peter and all the other New Testament writers and the saints were able to overcome it. So I just want to encourage you there to be in an obedient life and seek to live a life submitted unto God. And that should be something the proof of our salvation. Do we have an overwhelming desire to submit to God's word of God, of God's word, as we read it, understand it, and then apply it to our lives? That's what we're called to do, to submit ourselves unto the power of the Holy Spirit. And that submission will come in the spiritual as it comes in the natural. Are we part of a local body? Are we under a teaching that's teaching us the word of God? Are we being discipled? Are we submitting to discipleship and mentoringship in the things of God? Are we, you know, it goes to our pastors. God has put pastors and teachers in our lives to help us reach the purpose and plan he's had for us and bring us to a spiritual maturity. But are we taking advantage of it fully? You know, I put the challenge out there the last couple of weeks here about Bible studies. Every ministry I know has at least a weekly Bible study. So far in this new year of 2020, how many Bible studies have you attended and participated in or engaged in? However the Bible study is set up, even if it's a small group, are you part of a small group that meets weekly or bi-weekly that you can encourage, that you can learn from one another, that someone is praying for you, someone that you're praying for others, that you're connected with you're connected with the body of Christ locally? So that's something you have to do because that's living a life that's obedient. Because Jesus taught that we have to gather together the saints. Paul wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. that we are to come together to encourage one another and maintain relationships and build fellowships. Amen? Amen. Next point I want to talk about tonight, just encourage you in, that if we've been converted, do we think differently? Do we see the world? Do we see others differently? Are we committed to living lives? And do we see the challenges of the world? What do we do with the anger? What are we doing with how we are called to be? And how do we see when things don't go our way? How do we respond to those things? I'm going to talk about life and death things, the little things in life, where we don't get a promotion. People don't treat us right. People don't give us, they don't owe us, they don't pay us back the money they owe us. I don't know, whatever it is. How do we respond? When someone steals from us, takes something that doesn't belong to them, takes our stuff. How do we respond? Are we responding in the natural or are we responding in a godly manner? Is it that really that important? And how can that test in our life teach us about who we are and where we are in God and how we respond? So I think that's very important. If we are converted, we think differently. We have a renewed mind and a renewed heart. We don't seek vengeance. So believers, we don't desire to hurt anyone. But also, do we have a different heart? Because God is going to remember, God is our revenger. He's going to redeem us. He knows all the things that are done to us that were wrong for his sake and just for evil, how evil men treat us. But are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to be able to let God's light shine in us? I was in this past Sunday, we had a service talking about the light, salt, and light. Are we being salt and light when we have to sacrifice something? That, because it's easy to be salt and light and a Christian and a good, smiley, happy Christian when it's going our way. But when it doesn't go our way, where's our character then? Do we still carry the fruit of the Spirit? Are we still living out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives when things don't go our way, when people come against us, when people do us wrong? Amen? So just that right there, brother, those two things, just wanted to encourage you. I wanted to encourage every man. These are some of the things I've struggled with myself. And sometimes still struggle depending on where I'm at. Sometimes you go about your day-to-day business, your day-to-day work life, and something happens to you right out of the air. What is your first response? Do we pray? Do we seek revenge? Do we get upset? Or do we just, it depends on how it can get you off guard. But how do you recover and how quickly do you recover? That should be the question. Amen? Amen. So I just want to continue to encourage you. Yeah, one other characteristic we talk about, be living an obedient life. Are we living, immoral thoughts, adulterous thoughts, the entertainment we watch, the things that we find entertaining, our immoral practices, the things that we used to do that we knew were wrong. For some of us, it was womanizing, it was drug abuse, it was stealing, lying, cheating. I know there's a whole lot of things that we used to do and used to be. Let me take a matter of fact, let's do it like this. I don't want to pick anything out, but I go with what Scripture says. If you go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And if you could read through those things, and any of those things reflect any of your past life. So are those things purged from your life? And are you broken over the sinfulness and come to Christ looking for righteousness, looking to be redeemed, looking to be forgiven? Now you know these sinful things and your sinful character has been changed because of the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can do that is be obedient to the Spirit and obedient to the Word. If you just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, if that's any of that is who you used to be, and people can say that's who you used to be, then you have assurance of living a life that's obedient to him. Because these are not the things, these are not who you are anymore. You're a renewed creature, you're a new man, going in a new direction, living for a new purpose. Instead of being a slave to sin, you're a slave to righteousness and living obedient to God. So again, we look at the Word to determine who we are and where we are, to judge ourselves, to look in the mirror and see what kind of man we are, what kind of husband, what kind of father we are, what kind of son, what kind of church member. What kind of leader? If we are deacon, elder, what kind of leader are we in the church? Are we serving to the full capacity of what God created us and put us in position and in the purpose he created us for? Because remember, we all have a purpose and a plan that God had for us from the day we were born in our mother's womb. So are we living up to that plan? Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're still in chapter 5, but I want to jump down to verse 37. Because are we honest? Are we loud? Are we truth tellers? Are we truth tellers? Can people believe the words that come out of our mouth? Can we make a vow? We'll go to chapter 5, jump down to verse, let me go to chapter 5, verse 37. And it says, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. We don't have to, in that passage, it talks about making vows and promises and oaths and all those things. For the body of Christ, well, as a Christian man, a yes should be yes, and a no should be no. It should be yes, that simple. I'm going to be where I said I'm going to be. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. I'm going to keep a promise. I'll make a promise, and I'll be faithful to the promise. Am I faithful to it? You know, we in this Western culture, 21st century in America, people make promises and all kinds of things, and they don't never follow through with them. And they know, what kind of Christian man are we? Are we committed to our local ministries? It's simple. That's one of the things. You can't say you're a member of a church if you're not committed to the vision and the mission of the church. You know the heart of your pastor. What God has called your pastor to do and lead that particular congregation you in, are you in? And do you, first of all, do you know the vision and know the mission? And then where do you fit in? Where does God gifted you and put you to fulfill the mission of what that church is? Because a lot of churches are called to do a lot of different things, to serve in different areas, and also to how we minister to one another. Because again, us being in that local body is not maybe not about us. It may be about someone who's coming or someone that's there that we can connect with and help them get through and overcome some of the things we've been through. But are we faithful? Are we faithful to the church? Are we faithful to that's our yea be yea and our nay be nay? Are we living lives that we are men that people can trust? You know, are we? You may have been a liar, a cheater, whatever in your past, but now as you come to Christ, living obedient to Him, is your yea, yea, and your no, no. It's sometimes just that simple. And again, we as men of God have to look in the mirror. Where are we when we come to this? We don't judge ourselves against ourselves, against each other. We judge ourselves and look at ourselves as what the Word of God says about us and how we apply that Word to us. And that's who we are as men of God. So I pray, my brothers, that, you know, these things, some of the things I'm saying to you tonight, just to encourage you along the way, because we all struggle with things. I struggle, brothers, I know other brothers that who just struggle with things, but yet we are still seeking to please God in those things. We may make a mistake, we may slip, but we don't stay down and we don't stay in our sin, or we don't, when we make the mistakes, we ask forgiveness, we repent from it. We learn from our mistakes and continue to move forward that God can use us, and we learn from those lessons. Because if we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we're not going to commit the same sin over and over. We're going to be delivered from that thing. We're going to be delivered from that thing that pushes us to do what we used to do, live how we used to live. Amen? So I just want to encourage the brothers out there, continue to press in, continue to live for God, and know that God, that it's through submission. But I think that's the biggest thing that we struggle with as men when it comes to living obedient life, is submitting. Again, we do it in the natural, and we may struggle with the spiritual. But if we look to the Word of God and start to believe the Word of God, because how can we say we believe the Word of God for our salvation of our soul? But how can we not? How can we disobey? How can we disobey the Word of God when it comes to our character and how we live and the choices we make? Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to a call here. We have someone called in. Your last four numbers are 4945. Praise the Lord. How are you? Can you hear me?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
You got a TV on or something in the background.
God bless you. Okay. Nothing's on. I think I'll just come out of this headphone.
Oh, okay. There you go, brother. How
can
are you?
Hear me
brother
better?
Boone, how you doing, brother?
Okay.
I got you better, loud and clear, over.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, the technology today, some are good, some are bad.
Amen.
Some are happy, some are sad, but but all is well, my brother, Deacon Farr. I appreciate you.
Amen. Thank you. You wanted to share? We're talking about living an obedient life, bro.
Wow. That's is this a 2-hour segment or four? Because living because living an obedient life, wow, we could go on forever in that, you know, because there's so many topics and that we go, you know, to and fro in life over, from leaving the house to going in the house to going to work to going to the store. All this is we have to be in obedience when we travel, especially as a Christian. We have to have our walking in faith, walking in the Spirit, is being obedient in that order right there. So we, as human beings, that's why Christ died for us, because he knew already that we was not going to be obedient. He knew that. So by having the Christ in us, it will actually sustain that obedience to where we can have a better control of it through him, not through ourselves, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But once you sustain yourself in Christ as that relationship, that agape relationship, then you have more to be thankful for, to want to be a better man, a better Christian man, a better Christian man, to be able to walk by faith and not by sight, and not go into a different, even if you're, let's say you just go into any surface, any place in life, any crowd, but you're still showing that light, that glory of God. You're still holding that glory. You know, not that you're Bible thumping or going in the crowd saying, "I'm holier than thou and everybody else," but just knowing that you're still sustaining yourself as a Christian. What do you think, brother?
Amen, sir. Yeah, you're absolutely correct, and that's what it is. It's about checking ourselves and seeing how we're living. Are we living obedient to his word and staying within it? And you're right, because that's what we're talking about tonight, is living an obedient life and what it looks like and how we have to be able to judge ourselves compared to the word. And just to encourage the brothers out there, because like you said, we all going to fall short. We're not going to get it perfect. We are not going to be perfect here on this earth in this flesh. But we are called to be living testimonies. We're called to be living examples for each other.
Yes.
First of all, in the body.
Yes.
But that's where it's important that we are in fellowship and connected one to another. But
yes,
to be able to be an example to the world, because they have to see us doing different. Because when we go through the same things they go through and they see us respond differently, then they get to ask the question, why are you different? Why are you handling it different? But if we respond the same way they do, with the same circumstances and situations, which I think today is one of the things that we have to, as a church, we have to see, how are we responding to what's going on in this culture? Because none of it's new. If for some of us who's been around a while, it's not new, but how are we as the body of Christ responding to it? And are we just as confused, scared, or upset as the non-believer? Do we put it this way, do we exhibit hope in the midst? That's what a lot of us have to look at ourselves, from the church, from the top to the bottom. Do we exhibit hope? What do you say, brother?
Yes, yes. That's the main thing. So why would you – this is the thing I had to learn. Why would I start going to church to not exhibit nothing? Okay, I did start to go to church to start learning how to exhibit something. So I had to go to church to find my me, to find my me within him, find my me within Christ, to exhibit the love that he gave me, the love that he gave the world. So if I'm going to church to walk like Jesus, and Jesus, it is very simply, he walked there just to show love, compassion, and mercy, and all those things, forgiveness. So I should be able to try to mimic Christ. We're not going to be like Christ, but he wants us to just walk like him, just showing the love. So you go in the church, learning about the word, And then once you get out of those four walls, you, this is what you preach in a sense. You walk with that authority to, that you know this is how I should mimic. This is how I should be radiant to others. This is how I should show myself in that I've studied myself approved to be able to call myself a Christian within others, around others. So we want to make that difference. We shouldn't want to go to church just to sit there and look great in the pews, and then I'll see you in the next 6 days, on the seventh day, on Sunday, I'll see you again. But as all preachers and all churches always say, what are you doing in between that time? So how are you being radiant in between that time? When you're at the grocery store, when you're at the restaurant, when you're home, when you're around family, when you're with your spouse. So what are you portraying? What are you showing? What are you doing? Just plain and simple. What you know what you're doing. You know how you're acting around people. So are you acting in accordance of the Bible, according to God, according to Christ? Are you doing your best? Because as we said earlier, you're not going to be perfect, but are you doing your best to portray the radiancy in the kingdom, the glory, to let your light so shine that others may see? So it's so important to be able to practice that on the daily, not wait till next Sunday and show it there as you're greeting and hugging and to your neighbor next to you. And then when you go out in the car, you didn't curse out the kids and family too. It's something you have to practice. It's something you have to, and it's just simply love. Loving yourself first. Loving thyself as thy neighbor. It's a simple thing. You have to learn to love yourself. Just to learn this even faster, and not in a faster way, but to learn it even in a more of a agape way. You just have that little time with Jesus and learn how to let him come within your soul, within your spirit, and to translate and to change your whole method and mind. When I was a child, I thought like a child, and I had to put away childish things. Everybody know that. I may have missed a word or two, but you know what I'm getting at. You put away those childish things. And if you're going to walk upright, walk upright. If you're going to walk down, then don't try to. But learn, ask questions. Read for yourself and go to Bible study. What do you say, my brother?
Bro, you hit all the points, brother. You hit all the points. As we talk about spiritual maturity, and this is what we're talking about, and it begins with living an obedient life because we're called to grow in Christ. I know a lot of folk, I don't know. A lot of people make a lot of excuses for why people don't grow or the rate they grow or, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, you know, how long does it really take if you are committed? Because again, you come to Christ, you confess your love for Christ, you confess him as Lord, you confess him as Savior, but you're not living a life obedient to him. And it's not. And when I talk about application, sometimes it's just about doing what the Word says, doing what you're being taught. Like you said, you hear sermons, you in Bible study. Start to apply the word. And then we're not saying it's going to be easy, but you have to know what you believe and why you believe it. And that's where I think the maturity comes in. We start to grow. Okay? But if you, like you said, you know, when you was a child, you thought as a child. When you was an unbeliever, you thought and lived as an unbeliever. You confessed to be a believer. Now your goal is to live pleasing to him and knowing his will. And his will, I know a lot of folk could get on the, you know, I'm going to say this nice. A lot of pastors and people want to tell you what the will of God is and you should pray about it. I say read the word of God. Yeah. The word of God tells you what the will of God is for your life.
Yeah.
Because that's what the 66 books are for, to tell you exactly who you are, who he's called you to be, and what you want and what he wants you to do. Because God has already gave each of us a personality. He gave us a gift, a talent, and our personality. But now we need to take what God created us with and conform it to his word and submit unto the Holy Spirit and submit unto godly leadership and submit. And then that's where I think the struggle is, was our flesh doesn't like the word submission, and we don't like to be, set quote unquote boundaries. But in every other part of our life outside of the spiritual realm, we live in boundaries. And for those who don't, that's why the prisons and the jails are full of folk. What do you say, sir?
You're absolutely right. I had to actually start reading the Bible. I'm not going to say I read it from cover to cover. I read, I believe, enough to know what Jesus wanted to see out of me, what he wanted to see out of his children, what he wanted to see out of his sheep. The Bible clearly states all that. It'll manifest in you. Reading it over and over, it will manifest in your spirit because it'll speak to your spirit. It'll speak to you if you let it speak to you. If you ignore it, of course, anything, if you ignore it won't speak to you, or nor will you pay attention to it. And going to church and listening to the sermons is well and great. And they are speaking through the Bible, whichever a book there is focuses on. It's just giving you another hindsight of what that passage or verse is stating. So it's very important to I always said to myself, let's get it from the horse's mouth, and that's a matter of speaking. Let's get it from the horse. So where is the horse's mouth at? Not calling the Bible horse's mouth, but the Bible is where all the information is. So if you're curious of what the pastor or whomever is giving the sermon saying, go to the book yourself. That's why they have the books under the chairs in front of you. That's why they have the Bibles around you if you ask. That's why you have a phone that you could actually Google and search for yourself. Research is very important. Research is a foundation of just knowing and just certifying that what you just heard and read is confirmed. What did you say, brother?
Amen. You're absolutely correct, man, because that's what it is. When we want to live an obedient life, we have to know what the boundaries in our life is. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., talking about the issues that affect men in their lives as husbands, fathers, and sons, so that we can be better leaders in the community, leaders in the church, and leaders in our home. And tonight we're just touching on about two topics here. We want to touch on living obedient life and some of the things that we just have to start to apply the word to our life to live obedient to what God has called us to be, called what God has called us to do. We hit a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 5, and I want to get one in here, too, about in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to go to verse number 17, because I don't know what I want to call it, but this is something we definitely have to be able to deal with as men of God, is our faith. And what does it produce? What does it really produce in our faith and how we're growing as men of God? And it says in 17, it says, so you see, faith itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds, and it is dead and useless. And I'm sorry, NTL translation. Let me go to old school. For my Orthodox and traditional folk here, let me go back. Let me give you some King James so maybe you understand what I'm talking about. Amen. So it says, even if your faith have not works, even so, faith, if it have no works, is dead, being alone. And that works is the good deeds that God has called us to do. You can't say you're saved and you're not doing what God has called us to do, the things that we do out of the abundance of our heart, out of our love and obedience to Christ. Christ has called us to go and preach the gospel to all nations and all men. He's called and told us to go out and care for widows and orphans. He's told us to minister to the world, to be salt and light. He's called us to love one another and within the body of Christ, to take care of one another. Yeah. Are we doing that? Are we praying for one another? there's so many instructions in the Word of God that our faith, because we love God and He is our Lord and Savior, are we doing those things? And those are the works where they're talking about. It's not that we're saved because of it, but we do it because we are saved. I just that's my quick, dirty, public school theology. The things I do, being obedient and applying the Word, is because I believe God. And if I believe Him and have hope for my salvation in eternity, then why is it, do we struggle, or do we, some of us don't even try to live out the Word here in this flesh? But we think we're going to heaven. We believe that part, but we don't believe all the things He told us to do when He was here. Because if the apostles didn't do what Jesus sent them to do, where would any of us be right now? And when God called men and directed and guided men to do and to preach the gospel, who preached the gospel to you? That's what we, each of us has to consider. So who are we supposed to preach the gospel to, or live a life that's going to draw them and compel them to want to know, what must I do to be saved? Who is this Jesus? Who, what God are you serving compared to this other God out here? And, you know, the God that you believe, tell me about your God. But are we doing that? And that's when we talk about works. Right. You know, a lot of people want to get work caught up into a lot of different things. But, like, again, I just keep it to my elementary theology, public school education theology. I do, and I live in obedience to the Word as I understand the Word, as the Word is being taught to me, as I read the Word. And it's the same thing. I make it simple for everybody out there listening. You learned how to drive because you learned how to drive. You were taught how to drive, so now you know how to drive. So in Christ, are you a Christian because you learned how to be a Christian from the Word, because you read the instruction manual and you believed it and you trusted it and you did what it said?
Yeah.
And for the things in areas where you struggle, there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's repentance. So, I mean, that's where we really have to, I just wanted to stir up the brothers out there and just consider, again, I'm not going to hold myself up as having it all, or achieved it and done it all and got it all together.
No, we
struggle
don't.
Every day.
We don't have it.
Because every day, you know, I might want to knock somebody out, but I do not, because I love God. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Boone, what do you say, sir?
Yes. I love this school theology that you are speaking, my brother. For guess what? For Jesus gave the same school theology by breaking down things in parables. And He does it in the Bible as well. There's different written Bibles that actually break down what is actually being transpired or stated. So don't be afraid of speaking to those who grab those Bibles that's looking at it and saying, what? Wait, what? You could get with your pastor, you could get with your Bible study, to get an understood about what is being transpired or transferred through the Word. So don't be afraid of the Word. Love the Word. Love Him, and all things will be manifested in you, just as it did for Deacon Farr, just as it did for Brother Boone, which is me. I can tell you that it took me a while to sit in those pews because I had no understanding of what I was really trying to get out of the relationship of His Son. It's very simple. If you want to get into relationship, be it man or woman, I'm just saying that if I'm seeking a woman, I'm going to seek to get to know her. So it's the same formality with getting to know Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all righteousness and understanding, and all these beautiful things that come unto you. It when that had happened to me, it was like the skies has opened up in a sense, where my mind was much clearer to understanding of life, understanding of love, understanding of other people, understanding of just so many things. It just opens your mind up. And then it'll get you to take care of those things that you have in your life that's holding you down, be it bills, be it your job, be it whatever it is. Because as you know, we can all get caught up in the things that is going around us, and it's just too much sometimes. And of course, when you have too many things going on, and it's going to take away your concentration. So you need clear concentration. So start to get assistance in the things that you need assistance in, be it mental health, be it physical health, be it needing help with your bills, be it needing help with your children, all these things. Start taking care of those things, because you'll never get a gist of what God is, or who God is, or who Jesus is, if you have too many things going on. If you know, it's this old song out there that says, sweep around your old front door before you sweep around mine. Meaning that if you got too many things going on with your life, so how are you going to be part of my life? So sweep around your door, get things prepared. At the same time you're doing that, read and study and seek the wisdom of God. It's all there for you. It's just waiting there for you. He gives you what they call that choices, the same choices that you have in life. He gives you those choices to make on your own without any harsh or hinders from him. Jesus, when he walked the street, he asked people, come walk with me. Come take up and gird up and give away all the things you need. And if they said no, he just wiped his feet, washed his hands, and kept moving. He's not going to pound you about not getting to know him. But if you want to get known, then he's just open, waiting right there with open arms. Think of somebody you just came from out of state, and you haven't seen mom or dad or sister or brother or wife or husband in so long, but they're standing there with open arms. Isn't that a good look? That's a good, if you just imagine that, that's the most loving thing ever. So take care of the things that you need to take care of that's hindering you. Around, you already know what's hindering you. And then at the same time, you're taking care of these hindrances. Seek the word. Seek the word. Go to church. Find a Bible-believing church and go there. And if you want to change, the change is there. What do you think, my brother?
Amen. So, you know, I agree. And I think that's one of the things I say to every brother out there. Because I know we have a lot of brothers out there that even listen to this program. We're long range of Christians. They're out there by themselves. They don't want to be part of a church. Well, I mean, it's not that they want. They're not trying to be. They're looking for a perfect church. They have a list of excuses of why they're not part of a local church. But you didn't. They don't have one. My question to them is that's fine, because every church is not for everybody. Some things you have to have discernment about. But are you looking? Are you looking to fellowship? Are you looking to connect with others who believe the word of God? Because we can connect over a lot of other things. Again, you know,
yes.
This is why I say it sometimes, man, you know, we connect over everything. We connect over Ravens, Orioles, Yankees, Giants, Jets, whatever. But when it comes to the things of God, are we seeking, how do we get, you know, again, in our temporal world, in our life, the stuff that's not really that important, we can connect over, but for some reason, we have brothers out there who want to be long-range Christians to call themselves Christians. But, you know, they don't call themselves a fan and never go to a game or watch games or buy them a jersey or whatever it is. But when it comes to Christ, we want, I don't know what, sometimes I talk to brothers and men, I don't know what you're looking for in the body of Christ. I don't know what you're looking for, because first of all, as a man, you should see God using you sometimes to bring order to the chaos. To be honest, I know that I'm getting ready to lose some friends right now, but a lot of churches are in a lot of craziness because there's no men in those churches. And I'll leave that right there.
Okay.
There's a lot of churches, local congregations that have a lot of stuff going on because there's no men. But I'm going to let that meditate and see how that goes if I get anybody to hang up on me. Amen?
I'm sure that is the hope.
Amen.
Speak.
What are we doing? Disciple men. Why are men not there? You know what I'm saying? Do we ever ask ourselves, why are there no men? Why are there no men participating? I mean, I've been in So I don't want to digress, but I've been a Christian since the 90s. I've been in churches, and I've heard pastors get up and always talk about and want to say women this, and if it wasn't for the women, I said maybe some of you churches don't need to be here because it's all women, but that's a whole other subject. But why are we, and why do we think men are not coming to your congregation where you got to depend on women and all you got around you is women? So why men are not showing up? You ever ask yourself that question? Are you reaching men? Are you ministering to men? Those same women that you want to those same women you want to uplift, where are their husbands? That's all I want. I'll leave it right there. Let's move on. We as Christians, as Christian men, we are to live an uncritical love for others, to support and encourage one another, to be able to love one another. One of the commandments God has called us to be. I'm shifting gears here, bro, so let me go. Amen. Are we really genuine as believers? Are we building and having good relationships? Because that's one of the things also that we have to look at ourselves. What are the relationships that we're building with other men in the body of Christ, in fellowship? Are we connected with? Who knows what's going on with us? Who do we trust, and who trusts us? And are we building those relationships? And I was going to give you some scripture. I'm going to point everyone to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to jump down from verses 1 to 12. But I'm going to jump down to the meat of the passage. And it says, starting at verse 11, "So if you, simple people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who ask him? Verse 12, "Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets." How do we treat each other? Because we love each other unconditionally and uncritically. Unconditionally is one thing, but uncritically about others in their struggles. Because now that we have ourselves, we got it together. We look at people and go, "Well, they don't. Why are they living like? Why are they doing? Don't they know no better?" No, they don't know no better.
But
what are you doing to love them uncritically, to say, you know, help them through? Because my pastor says this, you know, this is something that recently in the last couple of years I've heard him say a lot, and it comes true. You don't know what people are going through week to week, day to day.
Right.
You know?
Nope.
But even when you find out that people have been struggling with some stuff, again, you don't know how they've been handling it and what they're dealing with. And let me say this for the body of Christ, for you church-going folk. Sometimes you don't understand what took people all week to make it back to that church on Sunday. And the first thing you got something bad to say when you see them. You don't treat them with a love, a hug, a smile, a handshake, nothing. You want to ask them, where was they at Bible study? Where were they at last week? Some people battle in the natural and in the spiritual just to make it back to the house of God to hear, encourage, and hear a word. But how do we receive them? And are we uncritical in our love and our relationship with others? Because, again, we're not called to, you know, the Bible speaks about judging, which is a whole thing. But we are called to love one another. We're called to hold each other accountable. I'm going to get rerunning as long as later here, but I just want to encourage you. Read John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and find all the love one another's in that chapter. This is what we are to call when we are living obedient lives to Christ. As we call ourselves Christians, and are we living lives that are obedient, and are we loving others the way God has called us to love? The love of Christ, what the Word teaches of who we should be, because again, our transformation is from the heart, from the inside out, that we are to treat others differently. We see others differently. We see them as God sees them. We see them as sinners in need of love, in need of repentance, in need to hear the gospel, to be encouraged. So are we submitting to God's will for our life that we can use by someone else, that they might see the love of God and the glory of God and know that they can make it and give them hope? But are we critical in a way where we keep people down? Amen? Because we all battle with the same things. We battle with worldliness. We battle with sin. We battle with Satan. And we battle with ourselves.
Yes.
So how can you help someone break that bondage with worldliness, with sin, Satan being a servant? They're slaves to sin, and Satan has got them by the neck. And then they struggle with themselves. You'd be surprised. A lot of brothers out here struggle because they can't forgive themselves for their past lives. even though they come to Christ, but they still struggle with the deeds of their past. What do you say, bro?
Yeah, absolutely right. You definitely pinpointed every subject matter as far as the inner self. Now, you also stated that, you know, how others, you know, are perceiving. And don't worry about the perception, because people are going to give you perception. But if you walk in up, as an upright man, why wouldn't you think of yourself as an upright man? You wouldn't let another man look down at you, and not in the way of looking down at you, but bring you down if you're upright. You know, as Donnie McClurkin said, if I'm correct with the name, we fall down, but we get up. We get back up. You got to get back up. You got to stay up. You got to, and if you fall, get right back up, because don't let no other man judgment or look or thinking they're higher than themselves make you feel small. Have the confidence of God. Have the confidence of Jesus to know who you're representing. You're not representing man. You're representing Jesus. You're not representing man. You're representing the kingdom of God. You're representing God. So when you walk anywhere, I'm not saying go in there and be higher than everybody in the whole room, but be confident in the word of God. Be confident in yourself. Don't be concerned with the world, because the world is not going to save you. So be confident in God and what he stands for and what Jesus stands for. When I walk out there out in my house and out my house, I do my best to walk in a godly manner. It's a task. Yes, it is a task. Nobody says it's easy. But I have the confidence of wherever I am and whomever I'm amongst, I am me. I am. It's the God. Everybody knows the Mary Mary song. If you don't, look it up, YouTube it. It's the God in me. So have the God in you. Walk wherever you want to walk. Let that light so shine that others may see. And let no man bring you down for no reason. Keep girded. You're the one that's supposed to be the one giving out the wisdom in assisting in any form or fashion, having the confidence. You don't have to say much when you walk in the room if you're walking in a godly manner. Because people are judgmental anyway. So once they see you, they're going to see this light in you. They're going to feel this radiance in you. And you don't have to say much. They're just going to be confident that you are a man. You're a godly or a woman. It doesn't matter. You have to just be in that sense and keep focused in Christ, in represent the kingdom. What do you say, my brother?
Amen, amen, sir. I totally agree. It's how we walk and it's how we talk. But I also I want to encourage the brothers also that we have to be able to speak the things of God. We have to be able to preach the gospel. We have to be able to share the gospel with others. And then how we do that, we can do that in the midst of conversation. We can do that in the midst of how we carry ourselves in meetings and whatever. All encounters, there could be opportunities that we are sharing the gospel. Because people have to know. You know, there's a lot of nice people out there. But there's a lot of nice people out there going to hell. But we want to be a passion to be able to share the gospel that we can save a soul, that someone can get to know Christ and their soul will be saved for eternity. So we have to be able to be uncritical in our love for others, that we're not afraid to share the gospel. You know, if something that was on Facebook before we closed, I just wanted to share. It said, how bad do you hate people? Do you hate people that much that you won't tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their souls might be saved? Do you really hate them that much? That was a Facebook quote right there. That's some Facebook's theology. Amen.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
That's a good
thank
question.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you calling in, man.
Man, I love you like a brother. You know, other. You already know, man. We're keeping each other girded. And that's another thing, keeping each other girded up. And that's what God wants us to do, keep us each other upright, girded. And when a brother's down, you pick him up. And when I'm down, you pick me up. That's how it should work.
Amen. Amen. Bro, pray us out, man, and I appreciate you calling in. Give us a prayer, and we're ready to close out tonight, and I appreciate you again. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Love you, brother. In the mighty name of Jesus, all those who are listening and trying to get an understanding, let the understanding be understood, Father, that we are just a light of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.